Well, hey, everybody. Nick Kirby is not going to be in the house for the next few days. Unfortunately, you're going to be stuck with me, Trace Fowler. And that is because Nick is doing better things. Nick is doing better things. Him and his wife, is more specifically his wife, obviously, is looking to bring another child into this world. And Nick obviously had a little helping hand in that. I'm sure he's cuddled up on those nice, beautiful little chairs they give you right now in the old dad beds. I don't know. Maybe someday they'll give the dads a little bit of a better bed. But I know this. I was not going to be complaining about it. You probably weren't going to complain about it. Because ultimately, at the end of the day, the dad's job is relatively easy, if we're being honest. But shout out to Nick. He'll probably be back here hopefully towards the end of this week. If not, that's A-okay. I'm going to do my best to fill into his shoes, although I know they're big shoes to fill, and there's probably little to no chance that I will fill them. But I'll do my best. If you didn't get a chance to watch the Reds last night, you missed a pretty good one. Top of the first, Ellie De La Cruz got everything started against the knuckleballer, hit a eighth home run of the year. Can you believe it? He's hit his eighth home run of the year, a deep blast, 430-plus feet. And you know what? It wouldn't last long, though. Nick Lodolo would come out, unfortunately, for the Reds. They watched that 1-0 lead vanish just like that on the first at-bat of the game. Jurickson Profar hit the game-tying home run to left field, and you thought, oh, no, maybe it's just not going to be Nick Lodolo's night. Well, let me tell you, that would have been completely wrong. Lodolo would retire his final 18 batters. His final 18 batters of the game. After his second inning, he obviously walked the first two guys, and then he bounced back by striking out the next three to retire the side. He'd throw just shy of 100 pitches, sitting just at 99. That makes him 3-0 with a 1.88 ERA on the year. David Bell. Kind of would have been a little bit of a controversy if it didn't probably go the way in which the Reds would have liked. He brought in Fernando Cruz, who has been exceptional this year. He threw a scoreless frame in the eighth inning, and then in the ninth inning they turned the ball to Diaz, and Diaz, I wouldn't say he got roughed up, but he gave up a couple runs. He gave up a run, I should say, and the Reds would win 5-2. All right, before we get into our conversations with me and Shay Neal, who's filling in for Nick and the time being while Nick obviously is at the hospital, we caught up with the conversations of David Bell on Nick Lodolo's outing, Nick Lodolo speaking on his own outing, and Jamer Candelario, a guy that obviously has struggled to begin this part of the season, to put it mildly. He has got an opportunity to talk about his big night on his two-hit night that was in San Diego.
It is, man. This game is, you got to be consistent. You know, this game is, you have some ups and downs. Like I always said, I'm a switch hitter. We always got to figure out stuff, but at the same time, we're putting ourselves in a great position to perform every single day. And it's not been great for me early in the season, but like I always said, man, I set my mindset, and I know what can I do when I get hot, man. If you hit, you can hit, man. It's just take your time and relax yourself, and you know, get some barrels.
If it wasn't for that one guy, that first batter.
Yeah, you know, that's definitely a first. You know, he jumped on it. But, you know, it kind of kick-started me a little bit, you know. Like I said, the second inning, you know, two walks, can't happen. But at the same time, you know, at that point, it was either sink or swim, you know. Deej came out, we got it back in line, and, you know, and the rest we rolled. Yeah, I was able to, you know, get my fastball up to the top, which was essential, which helped out my breaking ball a lot. I was definitely spinning the ball well. And I'll be honest, ever since that mound visit there in the second there, I kind of had it all flying. I had a good sinker going. I had change up to keep him off, you know, from like spin in and up. So, yeah, it was a good job.
That Nick Lodolo guy, pretty good.
Yeah, he was outstanding. But, you know, give him a lot of credit. He has such a good feel for how his body works, and DJ identified something early, made a little adjustment, and Nick was able to make the adjustment on the fly. So it says a lot about you know, his level of, you know, confidence and understanding of what he needs to do to be successful. And then after that, you know, he was just great, great fastball, started with that. Used his changeup, really good curveball, and just a great mix of pitches.
Can it be a game changer for this team overall if you keep him on the mound? Every 5 days you give that guy the ball.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to take all of us for sure. I mean, it's a collective team effort every night. But, yeah, I mean, we need guys to step up and perform. And it's never falls on any one guy's shoulders, though. And, that, you know, we don't need that. We don't want that. But, yeah, it's, you know, having a night like that just shows what Nick's capable of. And he knows that.
All right, parting words from David Bell there on Nick Lodolo's outing. Me and Shay Neal got an opportunity to talk about the game post-game last night on Chatterbox Reds Late Night Edition, and here is the best snippets of that from the YouTube show. You can't possibly throw the ball better, okay? I get the perfect games and all that, but you know what? You give up a leadoff home run, and you find a way to then bounce back and throw the ball like that, you are a legit G. And you know what? Maybe I'm overreacting. And if I am, I don't care. I don't care. Because I had to stay up and watch the Reds tonight. And Nick Lodolo made it worth my time. Shay?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And let's be real. I mean, this Padres team has a lot of good right-handed hitters. With Fernando Tatis Jr., Jurickson Profar, Manny Machado, Xander Bogaerts, as well as Ha-Seong Kim. I mean, there's some prolific all-star caliber right-handed hitters in this lineup. And Nick Lodolo allowed one hit. It was the first batter of the game and only three total base runners and seven just dominant innings. He looked like the best pitcher in baseball tonight.
Yeah, I tell you what, the bounce back that he had where he gave up the first two guys to get on, the back-to-back walks to lead off an inning, we all know walks will haunt. He then, I think, turned around and then punched, memory serves me right here, I don't have everything in front of me, but I know he punched out two guys. He might have punched out all three guys, to be quite honest.
All three.
And so he punched out all three guys, and that kind of was the start of his pure dominance, if you will. I just wanted to put pro at-bats up there because I do think that when you try to single guys out, we'll single Candelario out in a minute because he deserves it, if nothing else, because he made me a very, very, very happy man tonight. But more importantly, I just felt like they battled. They extended their at bats. They didn't give in on the knuckleballer. They kind of waited for what they thought was a good pitch. And I think ultimately, you know, Will Benson looked great. Spencer Steer obviously bounced back. He got a couple big hits. Espinal had a couple great at bats. He shot one into right field there towards the end of the game, but he also got a huge sacrifice fly. That ball was hit pretty well. I don't know how far it actually got, but that ball was hit. That ball was struck really, really well by Espinal as a sacrifice fly.
Find that really quick. It went 376 feet off the bat at 97 miles an hour. So, yeah, he hit it pretty good. But you're absolutely right. I mean, I think that with the exception of maybe Jake Fraley, but all these Reds hitters had really good nights. I mean, they were facing a pitcher that throws. It's a primary knuckleball guy, which is very rare to find in Major League Baseball in 2024, and they didn't panic. They only struck out six times as a team tonight, only four times against Waldron, the starting pitcher, and some of those, like the Elliott bat, I mean, that was just a nasty pitch, but like you said, didn't panic, waited for pitches that were hittable. Will Benson looked good. Ellie, I thought, looked good for his plate appearances, and how about this? The trio of Martini, Candelario, and Espinal on base five times tonight. That's pretty good.
No doubt. That was your 6-7-8. Maley, unfortunately, was in the 9 hole. He went 0 for 4. You got to start asking questions here really quickly. We won't get too deep into this right now, but what actually is going on with Tyler Stevenson? Are they just trying to give him an extra day of rest, perhaps? Or has he actually got an issue? Oddly enough, this team that we once thought had a lot of depth just doesn't seem to have that. It just doesn't seem to have that at all right now. I don't know, man. It's just I know people are gonna be like, oh, look at the Tyler Stevenson kind of hater. I don't know if that's the right word. Sir Boy Wonder would like to say I was a hater, but I had my concerns about Tyler Stevenson. But you know what? I don't know if this team can afford him being out for a significant amount of time, but the way he's been playing lately, so. You know, you'd like to hope that you could continue to have good at bat after good at bat after good at bat, and you start to piece together like at least tough outs. And that was my biggest concern with this offense more than anything else. It just felt like they were very, very, they'd roll over way too easy, and they wouldn't extend at bats. They would, for lack of a better term, weren't putting up any type of, grit, if you will. So I'm just thankful tonight. Yeah, they scored 5 runs. Is that earth shattering? No. Does that mean that we're all the way back? No. But I do feel confident moving forward here that if they're able to continue to survive in advance, get some guys healthy, we can get close to the All-Star break, right around, call it within 3 or 4 games of first place, I feel pretty good about this club. I do sometimes get depressed about that offense, Shay, but I'll also say they hold a playoff spot tonight as well. So it's like you got to kind of keep things in perspective time to time. Your overall thoughts, of just the offense and then kind of onward looking, if you will.
Well, I think the biggest thing is just consistency, and you hinted at it. Obviously, 5 runs isn't mind-blowing. It's not like it's the best offense in baseball by any means, but I think with the pitchers that the Reds have, with your Nick Lodolo, your obviously Frankie Montas, who we're hoping is back next week, with your Hunter Green, who hopefully he continues to progress as the year goes on, with Graham Ashcraft, with Andrew Abbott, if you're consistently putting up 5-6 runs a night, you're going to win a lot of games you play with those pitchers on the mound if you're putting up 5 runs a night. So it's not the fact that I don't think the Cincinnati Reds need to score 8 runs a night to be successful. I just think you can't have 7 runs here, 2 runs there, 1 run here. It's got to be if this team can figure out a way to, and I know that, they're going to go up against some pitchers, Freddie Peralta, Justin Steele, that are just really, really good, and it's hard to get 4 or 5 runs off of guys like that. But if this team can put up 4-plus runs and 70-80% of the games they play in, they're going to win a whole lot of games, Trace.
Yeah, and I mean, they faced some tough arms of late. I'm not going to sit here and act like they haven't. Ranger Suarez was kind of the guy that started it all off, and then it just went downhill from there. And I don't know if Ranger Suarez has given up a run almost all year long at this point. I don't know. That guy's been unbelievable. But point is, we'll find out where we go. I really thought that this team needed to win the series. Winning the first game, obviously, is a big deal. Trying to win a series, find a way to win tomorrow, would be unbelievable, but I really like the idea of Ashcraft being the back end of this series. I just think that he's throwing the ball really, really well right now. And you said it as well, to kind of round out the show here on some solid points would be just the sense that if you do consistently get 4 or 5 runs a game, this starting pitching staff right now is going to give you a chance probably 4 out of the 5 nights to win.
Yep.
For all intents and purposes, we're not the Brewers yet, which I don't know if you keep paying attention to them, but they have some Houdini magic going on up there in Milwaukee, to where I guess no matter what, they just every single year are going to just basically give up 2 runs or, 1 run or 3 runs every single night. And hopefully that finds a way to stop relatively soon. I'm thankful for tonight. It was a fun game. This was an enjoyable game to watch. Speaking of Candelario, he's on the rundown. We'll give him his praise here before we exit the show. Yeah, this is what it takes for you to break out of a slump. You need to see, as they say in basketball, sometimes you need to see the ball go through the basket just once or twice if you're a shooter. Doesn't matter how it goes in there, man. You just need to see it go through. And it just felt like Candelario needed to get back on the base pass and feel good about himself. And hopefully tonight was a step in that right direction. No guarantees. Like I said, no guarantees. I'll continue to try to find ways to eat some candy over the next few days. And maybe that'll always, give him some good juju. But having said that, we need him. This isn't a rocket science. We need him. We need him. We need CES. We need all the guys that are supposed to hit for this ball club to hit for this ball club if we want to be good. So I know that's not most earth-shattering news per se, but at least he looked semi-comfortable at the plate tonight.
Yeah, you said it. I think, obviously, I don't know if it's in the cards for him to be back to all-star hitter that leads the league in doubles like he was a couple years ago. But, Noelvi Marte is out until the end of June. And then, of course, you also have Matt McClain, who's out until probably August at the earliest, maybe September, maybe not coming back at all this year. So, obviously it's been a frustrating start to the year, but at no point in Jamer Candelario's career has he been a 600 OPS guy. And I don't think he just forgot how to hit overnight. I think, obviously, like you said, Trace, the Reds need him. We need him to be at least a league average hitter for the next couple months. And I think a big part of it is Candy's pressing in a new situation, in a new city, trying to be a key player for a team that wants, that has high expectations and has aspirations of being a championship team. And I think that a game like this, where obviously it's two singles or a single and a double, and it's not a ton, but just seeing you get rewarded for a good swing and being on base a couple times, it can be that weight off your shoulders, where I think over the next 5, 7, 10 games, we could see a lot more relaxed Jamer Candelario, and I still think that's a pretty good hitter.
All right, the Reds will be back in action again. A late one for all of our East Coast folks. 9:40 p.m. in San Diego. Yu Darvish is back from his 15-day IL start. He is 0-1 with a 4.18 ERA this year. He's going to go up against Nick Martinez. A little bit of a homecoming, of course, for Nick Martinez. Maybe he's going to get back at the Padres for those that didn't think perhaps he could be a starter. We shall find out. In regards to Reds that are that have faced Yu Darvish, Candelario is a guy that has faced Yu Darvish. He's faced him 5 times, has an average of 400 and an OPS of 900, so that's a positive. But outside of him, nobody else on this team has gotten a hit off of Yu Darvish. Having said that, only 2 other guys have actually faced him, Nick Martini and Luke Maley. So it will be kind of a little bit of a new arm for many, many Red Legs. We'll find out if they have what it takes. We'll be back, as always, with Chatterbox Reds going live in the top of the 9th inning. And we hope to see you there. If not, we'll be back better than ever right here on the favorite podcast platform that you get your podcast each and every single day. Thanks for supporting us. Shout out to Nick. Hopefully he finds himself in a good, cozy spot there as he sits on the couch waiting for his wife to do all the good, hard work. But until then, we appreciate you. Love you. Leave us a 5-star review if you can. And we'll be back better than ever tomorrow. Take care, everybody. Go Reds.